What's up, everybody? This is Zach. I'm here with Justin. Justin, what's up?
What's happening, Zach?
So today we're going to talk about, well, we're going to use specifically an example of a coffee maker gone rogue. Actually, not gone rogue. I guess this was an intentional attack by a coffee maker to dispense ransomware instead of delicious Java. And this one hits home because coffee is the only thing that keeps me going at this point. And the thought of my coffee machine turning on me is really upsetting.
Yeah, you wouldn't want that thing pissed at you first thing in the morning.
No, God, no. Keep the coffee maker happy.
This also seems to be more like a glimpse into the future of like what could happen. So it's almost like a precursor to like a future breach of the week, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure. There's like a million opportunities for your stuff to turn on you. This is Skynet. Although, so in this case, it's not like this became sentient on its own. And I will share the all the information in the show notes, because basically what this person did was ordered this smart coffee machine. I think the coffee machine was literally called Smarter. And went through, reverse engineered it, converted the, or took the firmware, essentially weaponized it, and then put everything back to see if he could hide it. And the long and short of it is that he got it to dispense ransomware and delicious coffee at the same time.
And it looks like it has the ability to do Bitcoin mining in the background. So not only does it serve up ransomware, coffee, but maybe it can make a little money on the back end too.
That's pretty good, actually. That would be nice. I wouldn't mind if my coffee machine was Bitcoin mining. But yeah, it's pretty wild. And so obviously the point of this was not to turn his coffee machine against him in a Skynet fashion. It was to prove a point with Internet of Things, which is another one of those catchphrases that I'm sure, Justin, you love based on your love for most cybersecurity catchphrases. Yeah. But my understanding of Internet of Things is that generally it refers to all the stuff connected to the network that isn't really a computer per se. So it's your lights, it's your garage doors, just thinking about, so we just built a new house. Everything is networked. Like we could have this entire house wired, or I guess wireless actually, since it's all Wi-Fi. And I mean, I can get information from my Samsung refrigerator telling me how many times it's open and closed, how long the doors are open for, set temperatures. Oven can tell me if it's on, the garage doors let me know if they're left open. It's all tied into security systems. It's all behind, you know, varying layers of security. You know, some of them have pretty robust security, but I have a light strip that the other day I had to change a password on, and I realized that the site that it was using to change the password wasn't even encrypted. So that one's not getting used anymore, by the way. That one made me a little nervous.
So, I would say, Justin, insert sarcastic comment
here. Yeah, right. More like, Justin, please don't get into my LED light strip and destroy
Randy.
My house.
That's Randy.
That's true.
That's Randy with his Yagi.
I think I might have actually moved closer to Randy, which is even more concerning.
Oh, for sake, Zach.
So
haven't you learned yet?
So I guess I'm on this, I like to think of myself as an innovator. If you're using the innovation and diffusion model of policymaking, I like to be out on the forefront and try things out before other people and then act as an evangelist to get them converted. And I'll be honest, Internet of Things is awesome. There's so much convenience in it. It's efficient. Like I can just keep track of all, there's data on everything. So I can see you know, power consumption, how things are being used, like what are we forgetting to do? We can automate stuff so that we don't have to think about it, which is really nice. But then I'm also obviously working at a cybersecurity company now. Like, what if my coffee machine decides that it wants to start firing off ransomware and I'm not aware of it? And I think, like, looking at this process, like, this is not something he did super easily. Like, he actually took apart the machine, had to sort of really hardcore reverse engineer it. And I think he basically had to jam the firmware back on. I don't know that he could do this remotely. Maybe he could. It's a pretty in-depth article. I'm reread it a couple times, but it's a fairly complex process. But my guess is that there's other stuff that you 100% could do this to remotely without a whole lot of heavy lift.
Yeah.
You know, the way I
kind of see it is, like, when you look at the iPhone, for example, and like the first person that jailbroke the iPhone, like, it wasn't easy. And I think it was actually a teenager that did it at the time. And like, it took him a long time to do it. And when he finally got it figured out, you know, he kind of published everything in there, and then it just became kind of commercialized from there. Right. Like, the next person made it a little bit better. Next person made it a little bit better. The next person made it a little bit faster. And then pretty soon, like, you basically have, you know, all the steps to jailbreak your iPhone in the form of like an executable that you just flash to your phone. And
yeah, no, I did it with a few Android phones.
Yeah. I would expect, like, this would kind of be like the initial steps of that, like how to kind of jailbreak your coffee maker. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. Like, one of the things I kind of think about, and, you know, one of the things that I have actually liked about the Smarter brand, if you will, is it seems like someone actually had some forethought in the initial design of it to basically cater to what a consumer needs and make the consumer's lives a little bit easier versus trying to satisfy like a corporate agenda. And so by that, I mean, like, too often I see organizations lead with a corporate initiative that directly benefits the corporation, but doesn't necessarily benefit the customer per se. Like usually,
like, it's cheaper to do it this way, so who cares if it opens up the customer to like some huge security flaw?
Yeah. Or like a better example would be like, so corporations try to create a connected device so that the corporation can harvest analytics.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
From the device and send you more targeting marketing ads so that you buy more. But like, there's really no benefit to the customer at that point. Right. Like, the most successful IoT devices, and you can, like, there's a long, long history of this and a lot of case studies on it, is saying, like, if you design it with customer needs first, and the corporation kind of benefits secondarily, like, the customer is going to be more likely to connect it because they have like personal interest and personal benefit for doing so. And, you know, when I kind of look at like this coffee maker specifically, you know, and I would say this is true for like all IoT devices that kind of fall into this category, is saying, like, If the IoT device, smart coffee maker, smart blender, smart whatever you got, if there's like consumer benefit and there's incentive for the consumer to connect it to the internet, like, those are the ones that are going to get kind of targeted first, only because there's just more of them, right? Because the population sees them as being directly beneficial to their day-to-day life. So.
And but propagation. I imagine if you've got an item that goes out to a lot of people, it's much more likely that someone's going to, you know, want to target that just because it's everywhere.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I actually noticed, so I have an LG TV, which uses WebOS, which I forget what the actual base software that is built off of. It's not Android and it's obviously not iOS, but anyways, within that, I was actually interested to find the other day. So that's, again, talking about Internet of Things and like the smart home, you know, I can have my TV run anything that's LG, which I bought an LG TV and everything else is Samsung. So it doesn't actually benefit me that much, but you can connect it to everything. And as I was looking through some of the settings buried like three settings deep, you know, when you're talking about design theory, if it's like three steps in, most people aren't going to do it.
Yeah.
There was actually a option to shut off, all of the feeds that go to LG and its corporate partners of data in how you're using your product. Now, whether or not that fully shuts it off, who knows? It could just be a placebo button that makes you feel better. But that was the first time I've ever actually seen that option. Like, and it was very clear. It wasn't like they said, like, you know, they had some coded message and you flip it and you don't really know what it's doing. It said, like, if you turn this off, we will not share your data with LG or our partners for like, they had some term essentially like customer mining, data mining, which was really interesting. But yeah, it's one of those things like I'm not naive, I guess. I do know about it. I just, maybe I'm apathetic to it because it's just everywhere now.
Yeah.
Because I love having everything connected. I like that. Like if I'm home or I'm away, I can just pull up my phone and be like, oh crap, I left all the lights on, push a button. They're off. Or, you know, I'm historically, I forget stuff inside as I'm leaving to drop my daughter off at school. So I'll run back in through the garage and then I'll leave again and forget to close the garage door. And now it'll be like, hey, I just saw you you're a mile away and you never shut the garage. And so, you know, just these little things that like, particularly like, you know, you're a parent, like as you're like your bandwidth for like remembering the little minute things that, you know, people take for granted sort of goes out the window as you have kids. And if you're busy also makes it really challenging. So these little like automations and shortcuts just make life so much easier. But at the same time, you know, it's everywhere. In fact, I don't know if you saw, there was actually a recent hack on some sort of chastity device, a web-enabled chastity device for men that basically locked it so it could not be taken off.
I'm just going to let that one go.
Why this exists, I don't know. Whatever, I'm not here to judge people. But
I'm letting it roll.
It starts to get into this like, you know, this is where the Internet of Things starts to get, you know, again, we've been talking a lot about how the cyber world and like the real world are starting to connect a lot more and collide a lot more. And, you know, when you have devices that are connected that can create, you know, some pretty physical or real world harm, that's scary. Like, you know, my oven, I don't have the ability to turn it on or anything like that. But at some point it's going to happen where, you know, hey, I'm coming home from work. I want to warm up preheat the oven. Yeah. Some bad guy gets in there, decides to crank it up to, you know, as high as it'll go and burn your house to the ground. Like that's a bad thing. Yeah. You know, you want to just screw with people, turn their lights on and off, make them think there's a ghost. You know, there's a lot of stuff that you can just mess with people now. So I don't know. This whole thing was very fascinating to me. Just especially because, the person who did this laid out all of the work that goes into it. And this, and like you said, Smarter is not like a dumb brand. Like this is not like some piece of junk, cheap, you know, knockoff electronic that just happens to have Wi-Fi attached to it. And he had to do a lot of work to get into it, but it was beaten. And now, I mean, like one of the headline pictures is the coffee machine with its little, LCD display saying, "Want your machine back?" And then a bit.ly address. Like, you know, can we expect that on our refrigerator displays and all this other, like all the things that were connected? It's just, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
I imagine we're going to be talking a lot more about this, especially with 5G. I mean, 5G, one of the main goals is to essentially connect everything and make everything smart, including our cars, including all the streetlights. And again, it's going to make life amazing. Like it really is. Like these are, we're kind of in that mushy, it's not really there yet. We're kind of in previous generation, we're making that transition. So it's really hard to sort of plan for and secure it until we make the leap. But at some point, yeah, you're not gonna be able to do anything without being pretty heavily tracked. So,
yeah.
Cool. All right. Do we do Internet of Things protection We should think about it if we don't. Maybe our RedSec team can go like pry your system. And I know that's not true. I know like Randy and them will go out and look for this stuff when they're on their offensive security testing stuff. So we could pry your system and find your coffee machine and try to turn it against you.
Yeah, there's a lot of solutions that we offer that, offer IoT cybersecurity protections. It's an interesting topic. So if someone has questions, wants to chat about it, they know how to reach out.
Yep. www.newharborsecurity.com. Like, share, subscribe, tell your friends, email us at pwned@newharborsecurity.com. And I'll see you next week, Justin.
Yep. See you, dude.